Mrs. America, Elizabeth Coppett Caverly, and I are breaking some bombshell news concerns tonight. Welcome to the Divided Kingdom. You won't want to miss a minute of this warning broadcast. Proverbs 13:4. The law of the wise is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seemeth right to a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14:11. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. This program is heard at WWCR.com, Thursdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. The shortwave frequency is 4.840 megahertz, repeating at 8 a.m. Saturdays on a frequency of 7.490 megahertz. We can also be heard on Liberty Works Radio Network, LWRN.net, Mondays at 5 p.m., repeating at 11 p.m. And now we are also on K-Star Talk Radio, KSTARTalkRadio.com, Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. You can also hear us via telephone through KSTARTalkRadio.com. The usual phone charges will apply to hear us on Saturday at 5 p.m. or Sunday at 10 a.m. And you can call to hear us this phone number, 1-605-562-5330. Once again, that's 1-605-562-5330. We deeply appreciate the five wonderful letters we've received recently. Your contributions and postage stamps were a great blessing to our staying on the air. Thank you for those and your ongoing prayers. You can also write to us at Lou Caverly, L-O-U-C-A-V-E-R-L-Y, at Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. That's Lou Caverly, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And now, to our bombshell first warning.
Yes, Lou and I, Elizabeth Coppett Caverly, have heard a story, perhaps true, perhaps an apocryphal urban rumor, that very, very early on, either pre-inaugural or right after Trump's inauguration, he well realized the deep state would be facing him and he would be facing it, to the effect that if need be, there would be a backup force, that if he just had to, something like this was said, he would have the White House circled by Marines. When President Trump talked to a high general, perhaps the highest in the administration's earliest days, he was told by the general, "Sir, we have no ammunition." Trump has valiantly, patriotically reversed that situation of the Obama administration by design, the military takedown, and he has courageously withdrawn the 24 men in Syria, refusing to give the go-ahead for us to be involved in saving the Kurds. You know, there does come a limit. Even if some of those Kurds were friendly and helped us in battle, we do not want to be in the Middle Eastern quagmire, that Third World War that Mazzini wrote to Albert Pike about, the goal of the secret societies. We do not want that conflagration, which will certainly come worldwide, spreading chaos and confusion and maybe taking down the economy of the U.S. That would be the least of the things that would happen. And we realize there are thousands of men still left in Syria. This is a token withdrawal, but we applaud it, and we really just can't observe the words of Lindsey Graham, Senator Lindsey Graham, who usually is rather pro-Trump, but he says this would be one of Trump's biggest mistakes. No, the deep state wants this world war. We in America do not want it, so we applaud any way that Trump can also finally bring us out of Afghanistan. This is not something the American people want. It's crippling us. It's really interfering with our peace of mind. So now, veteran health expert, Texas rancher, and researcher Mike Adams of Natural News, Sunday, October 6th, had a strong warning for every American. I have part one, Lou has part two, and this is an emergency broadcast. We hope and pray this will never have to be activated, but we do hope that you will tell others about our program and about this particular broadcast. Tell them to visit our archives at DividedKingdomRadio.com. That's DividedKingdomRadio.com. This article by Mike Adams was posted Sunday, October 6, 2019. U.S. Marines reserve units activated for emergency within the United States, which, quote, will come with little warning, cites, quote, threats in the homeland. Natural News, breaking news update. Concerning a directive involving United States Marine Corps reserve units via Marodmins, I'm not certain how to pronounce it. Do you know, Lou?
I really don't know.
Marodmins, that's spelled capital Maradmins, number 550/19, signed on October 3rd, 2019, authorized by Brigadier General Daniel L. Shipley, Director, Manpower Plans and Policy. Notably, Brigadier General Daniel L. Shipley was nominated by President Trump for the rank of Major General, according to a January 16, 2019 DefenseGov press announcement. Before serving in his current role, Shipley served as a Deputy Director, Program Analysis and Evaluation, Department of Programs and Resources for the U.S. Marines. This new order is summarized as Marines ordered to active duty, ISO, Defense Support of Civil Authorities. The term ISO means in support of. So again, listeners, that summary, that title is Marines ordered to active duty, really in support of, Defense Support of Civil Authorities. And now we must pick up the rest of this story. Note, there is this info being circulated about this order, claiming it was canceled. But the canceled order is 300/14, not 500/19. In fact, this new order, 500/19, replaces a lot of previous orders, reestablishing the urgency of the situation and making sure any action to defend the homeland is authorized by orders that are in good standing. Many observers are concerned that with Democrats like Representative Tlaib openly talking about which prisons to use for imprisoning President Trump and his cabinet, and with Hillary Clinton positioning herself to run for president, and with the IG's FISA abuses report set to drop in a few weeks, the deep state Democrats have reached a point of desperation where they may attempt to initiate a hot coup, in parentheses, kinetic engagement, arrest, or execution of the president and his cabinet, to avoid going to prison themselves. The entire CIA-run deep state media, that is, Washington Post, New York Times, CNN, etc., are all in on the effort, and now gaslighting the entire nation with ginned-up whistleblower schemes that are wholesale fabrications. Alex Jones reminds us Trump has long planned to activate the U.S. Marines to stop an illegal coup. I spoke on the phone with Alex Jones today about this breaking news, and he told me, I talked to a high-level Trump confidant concerning what Trump would do if the deep state attempted an illegal coup. Trump said they would call out the Marines and surround the White House, then legally and lawfully pursue the originators of the criminal coup. This high-level confidant is someone who is very close to the president and who is familiar with the president's plans for how to deal with any attempt by the deep state to carry out an illegal coup attempt. We urge all lawful pro-America organizations and individuals to prepare to defend your president against an illegal coup attempt in the coming weeks or months. Part two, Lou.
Details of the military order to U.S. Marines, quote, threats in the homeland will come with little or no warning, unquote. Does the following order describe an activation of U.S. Marines reserve units to prepare for an anticipated hot coup attempt against our president? While some might downplay the order as a routine personnel organization directive, You can read the highlights here and decide for yourself. The highlights of the order, order number 550/19, found at this marine.mil, and that would be .military, I'm sure, marines.mil link, are as follows. Order to active duty to provide assistance in response to a major disaster or emergency. Total force mobilization, activation, integration, and deactivation plan. That's MAID-P is the acronym. In accordance with IAW, REFA, this MARID MIN, in short for, I'm sure, Marine Administration, provides guidance for the activation of reserve component Marines under Article 12304A, Title 10, U.S. Code, following a request for federal assistance in response to a major disaster or emergency within the United States. Requests for federal assistance will come with little warning. As required, the Marine Corps must rapidly mobilize RC units and personnel, IAW. This Marine or MARID MIN in order to respond to threats in the homeland. This order specifically references the President of the United States as the commanding officer. SecNav, that would be the Secretary of the Navy's, delegated authority may be exercised only after 2.B.2, when directed by the President in support of ISO, a request for assistance, RFA, from a primary federal department or agency. Continuing on. This order also invokes the Marine Emergency Preparedness Liaison Officer, EPLO, as well as a large contingent of U.S. Marines forces, U.S. NORTHCOM and U.S. INDOPACCOM, requests EPLO activation through its USMC service component, Marine Forces North and Marine Forces Pacific. COMAR/COMAR4PAC should consider using on-hand active component and active reserve personnel to meet immediate requirements. The order also appears to underscore something called, quote, involuntary activization authority, unquote, as explained here. RSC personnel can be sourced from the individual ready reserve or individual mobilization augmentee IMA program with the involuntary activation authority residing with the Secretary of the Navy and the Secretary of Defense. Number 4.C.3, ensure coordination is conducted with MAR-4-PAC and MAR-4-North regarding the expected or planned RCIA mobilizations, either in a voluntary or involuntary status. 4.C.6, as required, act on delegated SecNav authorities for volunteer mobilization orders under Section 12301, Part D, for the initial 72-hour immediate response authority period, IOT, facilitate a rapid, time-sensitive response. Divided Kingdom listeners, let us pray together now. Almighty God, Lord Jesus Christ, we repent heartily of our sins and promises to keep standing against the evil.
And I must interrupt.
Yes.
You couldn't read my writing. I wrote the prayer.
Yeah.
We promise. We promise.
Oh, and we yes, that word is omitted. And we promise to keep standing against the evil and depravity in our nations, especially the murder of 60 million unborn babies and the drag queen abomination story hours destroying our children's hearts and souls. We beseech you, Almighty God, for mercy and continued safety for President Trump and his administration and family, as well as all of our Jesus Christ American people. Thank you, O Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, the Jesus Christ loving people and the patriots who are trying to stand. I heard William Benny today on InfoWars, and he was a whistleblower who went through quite a deal. He was the technical head of NSA, And he's looking forward to the truth coming out and Durham progressing so that eventually some of these people who believe they are even above God's power will be held accountable. Lou, you can take care of that other matter while I'm going on just a moment. And just how much evil and pervasive is this harm that I believe Lou mentioned in the prayer with this evil drag queen story hour thing? See, it's so important that we see that the height of depravity is in a culture that would produce figures like Governor Northam, who would say, let's kill the babies even after the failed abortion results that they are alive. Let's keep them comfortable, and then we can make a decision. And a country that would have people manning these public schools and the libraries to admit something like these drag queen story hours. Now, we've reported on this. Up to date, included Anaheim, California, Leonardtown, Maryland, all these shocking, shocking places with these things happening. And now I picked up a sample magazine that came to me, one I would never subscribe to, but it was the October issue of O, the Oprah magazine. Page 34 was entitled The High Five, a whole handful of things to cheer about in the month of October. And this was written by Melissa Goldberg. Now, some of these things, these five things that we're to high five, there was a book on great women artists. Okay. There was a new Amazon TV production, an 8-part production of stories from the New York Times Modern Love column. And that was supposed to be all kinds of love. Love between a father and children and a mother and children. Love in a marriage between a husband and wife, et cetera, et cetera. Number three, Fat Bear Week in Alaska's Katmai National Park and Preserve. And that didn't sound too bad either. You know, that's just one of these homey little celebrations, I guess. And four, what's the difference? And this was a weekly e-newsletter that breaks down the distinction between doubt-related and commonly confused terms. That sounds like it might have something to do with political correctness. That one's getting a little more questionable. Number four, you see, using thinking, I guess, in this e-newsletter to break down the distinction between doubt-related and commonly confused terms, it should have been used to ask how the terms depravity and destruction have become synonymous with little children's learning activities in schools and libraries. For here was what we're supposed to give the high five to. Quote, reading rainbow, gather round, children, for the most fabulous tale of all. Drag Queen Story Hour, held at libraries, schools, and bookstores around the world since 2015, in El Paso, Indianapolis, and more than 45 other cities. Lou, did you know it was that bad?
I did not, no.
Fierce performers. Now, look at that entitlement. Fierce performers. Read kids' books, both classic, The Very Hungry Caterpillar, and modern, Mary Had a Little Glam, to tots and their parents while spreading a message of tolerance, self-love, and glitter. To find or start a chapter near you, you're to visit dragqueenstoryhour.org. And when I looked at that picture, I recognized that picture. That was a picture on another news excerpt that Lou had gotten on the internet. And it showed that same little girl that I mentioned looked so puzzled and innocent and disturbed as she's looking at the drag queen narrator with the frizzed up hair and the clown, the absurd clown face. And we know all those innuendos about that. Oh, God Almighty, what have we come to? We must separate ourselves from any media that is this depraved and taken over. And now tonight, we said, is an emergency broadcast, and we have several more very important things. You can go to Divided Kingdom radio.com, and you can read my essay on 5G. It's so important that you don't let this come in. So we have now a headline here from WorldNet Daily, WND News Services, published September 18th, 2019. Health fears prompt Swiss 5G revolt. Switzerland was among the first countries to begin deploying 5G, but health fears over radiation from the antennas that carry the next-generation mobile technology have sparked a nationwide revolt. Demonstrators against the technology are due to fill the streets of Bern later this month, but already a number of cantons have been pressured to put planned constructions of 5G-compatible antennae on ice. The technology has been swept up in a deepening trade war between China and the United States, which has tried to rein in Chinese giant Huawei, the world's leader in superfast 5G equipment, over fears it will allow Beijing to spy on communications from countries that use its products and services. I don't even know whether I pronounced that name right, Lou. Do you know the Chinese giant Huawei? Huawei?
I do not know.
You haven't
how
heard
that
it.
Is.
But I don't personally care too much right at this moment when the NBA has come out it knuckled under. It knuckled under to all of the things that are coming out of China. Our country is sold out. We're getting more and more evidence of the Chi-Com takeover of Hollywood, the major studios, the stories, the scripts that are coming out. It's not a good thing. And we do not want the Chinese social credit score in this country implemented. The globalists have been using China for a very long time, and it's supposed to be the model. This is how we will all live if we don't protect our country. And God bless President Trump for making America first. Now, the other thing, we always have these clandestine questions. What is the New World Order, a.k.a. Deep State, doing to harm us? Mike Adams had another breaking set of news yesterday. We're coming to you on the 10th. And he was breaking the news that the World Health Organization has even come out now to say that the cases of polio that broke out in the Philippines were because of a vaccine. There was something in the vaccine that could activate in children's intestines. And then Mike, of course, gave the background of how in the 1960s they took a little aborted, I think it was a black baby, we don't know, but it was a boy, and they took these fetal cells, and they keep replicating them every time they make a new a vaccine. This could be the MMR, probably the flu vaccine. If any of you go to take the flu vaccine, I pity you, because if it is made on this same thing, this aborted fetal cell line, Mike says what you're doing, you're taking in a new kind of a DNA into your body, and you're going to be prone to cancer. Think of all the childhood cancer. Yes, perhaps St. Jude's is doing a good thing with all the research. We're not entirely sure what, quote, research means in any big institution, but it is wonderful that it's saving lives. But it wouldn't need to exist if people woke up and sought the truth. If people were reading their KJV Bibles, not the new perverted Bibles that have really been around almost about a century with the beginnings of the bringing in the corrupt Vaticanus and the Sinaiticus, these so-called ancient scripts replaced what had been carefully coming through the straight line from Aramaic into Latin, what they called Old Latin, into England. As early, I think, as the year 200, Lou. Isn't that amazing?
Yes, it is amazing.
And so you see, we had all these scholars carefully giving this formal translation. So it was they sought to find a word that would be exactly like the word in the original language. And this was changed when we had these spiritualists, these secret society members, Hort and Westcott, in the late 1800s, they drew up a different kind of thing. And now we had dynamic equivalents. So So there, you just kind of get a synonym for a word that fits into your culture. Can't you picture it? How these perverted Bibles now are coming at the time when we have AOC and people like her crying for social justice, which really means imprison us all in the green climate deal. Take down of everything that we hold dear, taking away our land, taking away everything. Actually, today, Beth Ann, who is the successor to Derry Brownfield on his program, was interviewing a person, I think her name was Patterson, and she was exposing the Humane League that you always see on TV. You know, when winter comes, you see these little animals, and they're so sad, and they look so droopy, and they look so ill, and you're to send a lot of money. Well, apparently, again, Lou, we're being deceived. This isn't any relation to the U.S. government agency, the Humane Society of America, but it's working with a kind of a global sanctuary. And now they're swooping in on people who own zoos. And this happened in Virginia, Governor Northam's wonderful state. There's a person there who had all of his animals taken, and they put them in these sanctuaries. And this is outside the law. And he's going to have to mount, I think maybe it's a $300,000 defense. I just want to make you aware of this. You see, if you do not think anything's going on, and this is basically under the asset forfeiture seizure laws, these things that are not really legal. So we have to pray about a lot of things. And now we've wondered again about the California fires. Remember, there was only a cross standing there at Paradise, I think. And so a listener sent us this bombshell warning. So bombshell warning number one is the Marines who may have to encircle the White House. Bombshell number two is the revolt of the Swiss against 5G coming into their neighborhoods, these little boxes with this horrific RF radiation going on people. And then, of course, we had the vaccine revelation about the Philippines. Now we have from AFP by Mark Anderson, why are houses burning but not trees? Longtime activist and Eagle Forum of California President Orlean Cole is highly doubtful that the widespread fires that have ravaged California are the results of errant campfires and other innocuous causes. She is working with Eureka, California Tea Party member Louise Gliotto to call attention to the digital smart meters that monitor customer power usage in most of California and the nation. The goal is to inspire citizens to ask whether these devices are a major reason that entire neighborhoods of homes in the fires last year and this year burn so intensely and completely and often in a uniformly bizarre manner. Mrs. Cole said that the Press Democrat newspaper in Santa Rosa declined to publish her guest column about evidence that smart meters have a low threshold of resistance to power surges and can explode, thereby causing ultra-hot fires when that threshold is breached. However, another newspaper, the Eureka Area's Siskiyou Daily News in Siskiyou County, and that's spelled capital S-I-S-K-I-Y-O-U County, ran her column. Focusing on the fall 2017 Santa Rosa fires, Mrs. Cole wrote in her column, "So many people are placing the blame for the horrendous fires in Santa Rosa last year, where over 5,000 homes were destroyed and 42 people killed on PG&E, Pacific Gas and Electric, for not taking better care of their power lines, which were falling down in the high 60 to 80 miles per hour winds during the evening and night of October 7th to 8th, and creating sparks that started the fires. Could that be only half of the story?" She continued, "According to an expert, Bill Bathgate, an electrical engineer who has worked for the Department of Defense, when the power lines were downed, they created an electrical surge that went directly to the homes that have smart meters and, quote, caused a significant fault and an explosion of the meters, end of quote. The smart meters are designed to resist 300 volts of surge, but the surge was probably much higher, in the thousands of volts, and caused them to explode. Could this explain why so many people, as they were fleeing their homes the night of October 8th, heard sounds of pop, pop, pop explosions? Mrs. Cole told this AFP writer that according to Bathgate, electrical fires burn with higher temperatures than normal fires, up to around 3,000 to 4,000 degrees, quote, hot enough to melt metal, and, quote, even ceramics, including toilets and tubs. She added that this could explain, quote, why hardly anything was left in the homes except the brick fireplaces, end of quote. Moreover, quote, all refrigerators, washing machines, and other appliances were melted, and the cars in the garages were left with only their steel frame. All aluminum had melted, and all electrical components were gone. Mrs. Cole's home in Rincon Valley in Santa Rosa was directly in the path of the Tubbs fire in October 17. But her home miraculously survived the fire, even when her neighbors' homes burned to the ground, again with all metals melted. Mrs. Cole and her husband were the only area homeowners who refused PG&E's smart meter. They kept their old analog meter that lacked a radio frequency chip and had nothing in it to make it explode. Tragically, in the aftermath of the blaze, the local utility audaciously installed a smart meter against the homeowner's wishes anyway. And I personally hope that that wasn't Orlean Cole. If so, she's really suffering for our Savior, she and her husband. I would ask you to pray for them and the neighbors who had this forced upon them. But you see, God is using this thanks to this alert listener who had a sense of this injustice, this violence done to the individual. The individual, I wrote in my book, Patriots Warning, America Attacked, and Chaos and Chemtrails in the two-book set, that the individual is all. Because I feel that firmly as a human being, and that I know that God Almighty created each of us to be unique people. He loves us, and Jesus Christ is our friend, our Savior. And He will certainly reward Orlean Cole someday, if not here on earth. But please pray for her and her husband. Pray that these evil things, like the smart meters, will be taken out of existence. And for more information, this writer says, do a web search for smart meters causing fires. And now we must move on, and we are moving now to some things that are happening. And first of all, we have Antifa hit with backlash over granny bullying after blocking elderly woman. And there is a picture here. This was from the Washington Times. The elderly woman, the white-haired woman, she's sort of pushing a kind of a rollator or one of those things, you know, that's sort of like a walker, I think, maybe. And we see these people sort of hooded in black, and they're standing right in her way. And so this is the article now. And I think the date on this was October 3rd. The anti-fascist group, protest group, was widely denounced over a viral video, and of course that's Antifa, showing three masked protesters standing in the woman's way Sunday as she slowly tried to cross the street, accompanied by her elderly husband, while the activist shouted, "Nazi scum, off our streets!" The event held at Mohawk College in Hamilton, Ontario, featured People's Party of Canada leader Maxime Bernier, a member of parliament who appeared with U.S. conservative YouTube host Dave Rubin. Although Antifa defenders described the episode as a few bad apples, ruining it for the otherwise peaceful protesters, and blasted those using the video for, quote, propaganda purposes, the episode spurred an Antifa backlash, judged by the outraged reaction in the media and social media. Antifa's granny bullying is another hit to the group's crumbling public facade, said the Monday headline on a column in the Post-Millennial of Quebec. David Turkowski, a martial arts instructor in Brantford, Ontario, later identified the white-haired woman as his mother and posted a video on Twitter with her response to the protest. free speech is a cornerstone of our democracy and can never and will never be denied, said the woman, identified by the CBC as 81-year-old Dorothy Marston. Now, isn't that neat? God allowed this to happen, and the woman didn't get hurt, really, physically, but she became a mouthpiece for freedom. She said, at age 81, and now think of these evil population colors who want to euthanize the elderly, as well as kill off all the babies with abortion. She said, free speech is a cornerstone of our democracy and can never and will never be denied. Good for her. And David Turkowski said on October 1st, my mom prevented from going into a free speech lecture by thugs in Hamilton, Ontario, Sunday. And then Andy Ngo, and remember, Lou, you called it to my attention, he was the one that Antifa harmed so much that he had a brain hemorrhage.
Yes, that's exactly right.
So he said on October 1st, if you look at the chatter online by Antifa supporters and leaders, they're upset by the video of the militants bullying the elderly couple, but only because of the bad press it generated. Mr. Bernier retweeted the video and thanked the woman for standing up for free speech. We have a little more on this, too. These Antifa protesters are a small minority of violent thugs. And this is Maxime Bernier's comments. Most frightening is that their extremist far-left ideology is now tacitly supported by many in academia, the media, activist organizations, and politics. Our democracy is in danger. Meanwhile, Mr. Rubin, and you recall he was the talk show host, praised the lovely woman who Antifa tried to stop from attending my event with Maxime Bernier on Sunday. I now proclaim her to be Canada's grandma, adding that the video had received 7 million views. Former Canadian ambassador to Israel, Vivian Berkovici, tweeted, I don't support targeted party, but these thugs have no idea what real fascism is. In a Monday op-ed, Don Henderson of Hamilton said he attended the event with his mother, but that a black masked activist, quote, decided to scream as loudly as possible in her ear that she was a Nazi. He said the irony of the incident was that his grandfather fought Nazis during World War II in England, Italy, France, and Germany, unlike these misguided youth. Kojo Dempsey, I believe that's Dempsey, program manager for the Hamilton Center for Civic Inclusion, told the CBC that he disagreed with harassing old folks and people that have disabilities, but that the focus on the elderly couple was a distraction. He added, if they weren't allowed to speak at Mohawk, that wouldn't have happened. Four people were arrested for breach of the peace at the Mohawk College event, although Hamilton police said more could be arrested. And now we move on to see the other arm of the New World Order, deep states, used to take down countries to bring us toward this clash of civilizations, and that is radical Islam, isn't it, Lou?
Yes, that's right. And one little very short article we have here ties in with this occurrence with the grandmother. This was from WorldNet Daily, October 2nd, 2019. Untitled, masked Antifa radical who harassed elderly lady is a Syrian migrant. This was ultimately from Summit News. One of the masked Antifa radicals who harassed an elderly lady with a rolling walker during a protest in Hamilton, Ontario, is Syrian migrant Alaya Sufi Thalour. As we previously highlighted, the old woman was confronted as she tried to cross the road by a group of Antifa members who proceeded to yell, Nazi scum, in her face. The incident occurred during a demonstration outside Mohawk College against right-wing politician Maxime Bernier. One of the culprits has now been identified. Interestingly enough, below that it said, read the full story. Well, I couldn't get to that, to read the full story. But at least we got that headline. Now, some other things that
you know, Lou,
yes.
A lot of things are being suppressed. And for that reason, we know that a number of you thinking people, you Christian remnant folks, appreciate our program with no commercials. And we will be bringing you the hardest-hitting news that we can find. You know, God showed me once in the scripture that we were to keep crying out till the last city is wasted It's somewhere in the Old Testament. I think it's either Jeremiah or Ezekiel. And I felt that was a template for Lou and me. And if you would like to help us stay on the air, once again, you can write to us. We can't take checks written to us, but we can take money orders. We can take checks written to WWCR, a little cash, postage stamps. They're so helpful to us. You can write to Lou Caverly, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Again, that's Luke Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Go ahead, Lou.
Next, from BigLeaguePolitics.com, 9 injured in truck attack by Syrian migrant in Germany.
Now, you see, we're moving to the international scale. We're seeing that this plan, this evil plan, about a century ago with Mazzini and Pike, they were involved in it. The Vatican is involved in it. The Jesuits are involved. They've sued from Georgetown University to Alex Jones. We think there are many, many corporate leaders. We don't know who all is in this brotherhood of darkness that Dr. Stan Monteith called it, but we've got to see this radical Islam is a very, very bad force. Go ahead.
Once again, this is from BigLeaguePolitics.com, written by Richard Moorhead, dated October 8th, 2019. 9 had been injured in a likely terrorist attack in Limburg, Germany, on Monday night, in which a man drove into traffic at stoplight. The suspect utilized a stolen Mercedes truck that he appears to have carjacked moments before, pulling out his driver at another red light. The attacker has been revealed to be a Syrian migrant in his 30s. Eyewitnesses describe the man as saying the word Allah over and over again and speaking other Arabic phrases. The incident is now being treated as an act of terrorism by German authorities. Sources indicate the truck thief and attacker was known by authorities to have a, quote, terrorist background, unquote. Sources indicate 8 vehicles were injured. I imagine that should have been damaged. And debris from damaged cars was spread throughout the road where the attack took place.
And they may have had a little misprint there. I might have heard there were 8 people injured. Nobody was killed. Isn't that correct?
I think that's right. Yes. He goes on to say, it's fortunate the terrorist didn't plow the stolen truck into any pedestrians, who would have been much more vulnerable than motorists sitting in vehicles. ISIS sympathizers have utilized trucks for terrorist attacks in Europe before, most prominently murdering 87 people in 2016 in the French city of Nice. Angela Merkel's Germany went above and beyond in opening its borders to migrants from war-torn Syria, taking in almost 2 million asylum seekers in 2015 alone. Merkel's pro-migration policies led to a backlash from the German people and a rise of new populist parties such as the Alternative for Germany, which goes by the acronym AID. Islamic terrorist attacks have previously been almost unheard of in countries such as Germany or France. Now, even years after the initial surge of mass migration to these countries, they seem to have become a frequent occurrence. And then in Paris, France, we have from the New York Times, October 5th, in Paris knife attack, police ask how they missed a killer in their midst. This is by Adam Nossiter. Again, it was datelined October 5th, 2019, and updated on October 8th. And it reads, Paris. Evidence that the Paris Police Department missed warning signs about an employee who slashed 4 colleagues to death at his headquarters on Thursday is prompting demands for a leadership shakeup. At a news conference on Saturday, France's anti-terrorism prosecutor, Jean-Francois Ricard, said the killer, a 45-year-old computer technician who worked in police intelligence, had tried to justify to a colleague the killings in January 2015 at the magazine Charlie Hebdo, and had done the same for other radical Islamist killings. The disturbing statements he made after a dozen people were killed in the Charlie Hebdo attack in Paris were reported to higher-ranking officers, a police union official said Saturday, but nothing was done. The fact that this and other potential clues including a video the killer posted on Facebook that imitated throat cutting, were missed by the police administration that surrounded him. At the heart of an organization dedicated to fighting terrorism, has shocked the ranks of the National Police. It has also set off calls for the Interior Minister's resignation. The killer, shot to death during the rampage, was identified by the prosecutor only as Mikhail H. But the French news media said he was Mikhail Harpon, born in the French West Indies department of Martinique. He was a long-time convert to Islam, not a recent one, as officials had said in the aftermath of the killings, and was an assiduous attendee of the local mosque, going to morning and evening prayers. A radical imam, who was nearly expelled from France, officiated there, a police union official said Friday. The killer also had contacts with, quote, several individuals suspected of being part of the Salafist movement, unquote, Mr. Ricard said, referring to an ultra-conservative movement within Sunni Islam. The prosecutor also pointed to dozens of religious-themed text messages the killer exchanged with his wife shortly before the killing, suggesting these showed he adhered to a, quote, radical vision of Islam, unquote. In addition, the killer had stopped having certain kinds of contacts with women, and that's in quotes, certain kinds of contacts with women, the prosecutor said, without specifying what was meant. The information now surfacing is creating an uproar among the French police, several union officials said Saturday. Says Yves Lefebvre, a union official, quote, there are a lot of questions, and there is a lot of anger. The police are asking how on earth could this have happened? And also a quote, what could easily have happened from the outside is now coming from the inside, he said, blaming in part the extended yellow vest protests for diverting police resources and attention from terrorist threats. He also said, quote, there are flaws in the system, unquote. That an organization focused on fighting terrorism would fail to perceive a threat at police headquarters in Paris shocked many people in France and set off furious demands for change. For the moment, the authorities are not giving answers to the deeper questions raised by Thursday's murderous spree. But on Saturday, the political opposition leaped on the lapses, unleashing a round of fierce criticism on President Emmanuel Macron's frequently under fire Interior Minister, Christophe Castaner. Quote, what French citizen could think that this ministry is run well, said Eric Ciotti, a center-right member of Parliament, as he spoke Saturday on French television. And he also said, this is not reassuring in the face of what is an extreme menace to our country. Castaner told reporters after the attack that the quote-unquote behavior of Mikhail H. had not posed problems. But others said the man, deaf and frustrated that his handicap had prevented him from advancing in the police, had given off warning signs. Said another union official, Linda Kebab, quote, when the minister said there was nothing abnormal about him, that's false, unquote. She went on to say, he wasn't mean and he wasn't a conspiracist, but he was easily manipulated. Everyone knew that he was troubled. On his Facebook page, under the pseudonym that is an anagram of his name, a clenched black fist is accompanied by the slogan, Deaf Power. There are exhortational Muslim videos, films about suffering in Syria and the Palestinian territories, and a curious video in which a line of smiling men tap one another on the shoulder and trace a line across their neighbor's throats in imitation of throat cutting. That video was posted in June. At least one victim's throat was slashed on Thursday. People in the attacker's neighborhood of low-rises in the northeastern Paris suburb of Gonesse said he was, quote, nice, simple, and someone who liked people, unquote. In 2009, he was brought before a local court on domestic violence charges, but ultimately received no penalty, the prosecutor said. An acquaintance of his mosque said the man was, quote-unquote, frustrated at work because his handicap had prevented him from advancing. The night before the killing, neighbors heard him make religious utterances, the prosecutor said. The killer's activities on Thursday, captured by video surveillance cameras, unfolded calmly at first. He took the train from Genos at 8:22 a.m., arrived at the massive police headquarters in the heart of Paris shortly before 9, and went, as usual, to his office. But then around 11:20, he began exchanging the religious-themed text with his wife. Shortly after noon, he calmly left his office, walked across a bridge, bought an 8-inch kitchen knife and an oyster knife, and slipped back into the police building. His colleagues in the office had stayed behind to have lunch at their desks. The killer slit the throat of one, a 50-year-old police major, and fatally stabbed another, a 38-year-old officer, in the abdomen. He then went into another office, stabbing a 37-year-old administrative employee, and descended the stairway toward the building's giant courtyard. Along the way, he stabbed to death a 39-year-old police woman, the prosecutor said. Once in the courtyard, he threatened another employee with his knife. Ordered to drop the weapon by a young policeman, the killer first walked slowly toward him, then started to run, pointing the knife. The officer fired. The killing spree, the prosecutor said, lasted exactly 7 minutes.
And you see, there's a witch's brew there of a handicapped, isolated person who doesn't know Jesus Christ, who is indoctrinated by the radical Islam of the radical imam. And it reminds us of that movie that's called Joker, that's just been out very recently, and it's having sort of a sensational effect on everybody. And the idea there is somebody who is isolated from all love and concern, and that person's desperation turns to murderous rage. We can't fix all of these people who are going to go off their nut, shall we say, because of this culture of death. But you know, you can take care of your own family. And the Bible says if you don't, you're no better than an infidel. And taking care of your own family means that you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, to God. You don't have the goal, I'm going to be like the man in the Bible. I'm going to build better barns. I'm going to build all of them. And, you know, he died overnight. God, you know, what is it? Man proposes, God disposes. Lou and I know that's very, very true. And we have surrendered our lives to his call. As long as he calls us to be watchmen for you, we will do it. And we do love your letters to us. We love you as individual listeners. And we know that we're in a fellowship. It's like a little country church. One of those churches like a retired Joint Chief Action Officer Al Cuppett. By the way, pray for him. He's had to have two knees replaced, and he's in a lot of pain. So please do put him in your prayers. But when he talked about his ancestors, those twin brothers, J.C. Skipper, his church, and remember, Lou, how one day there was a lot of snow, and J.C. Skipper's wife said, surely you're not going to the church today. He says, yes, I saw a little lost lamb. And when he went to the church, there was one person there, and that person received Jesus Christ as his Savior. And many years later than that, Al is at a family reunion, and he's telling this story, and a young woman says, why, that was my grandfather. That happened. That happened. Yes, we need not be pulled down into extreme fear or extreme despair. Any of you who are lonely out there, pray to God to help you and reach out to people you can trust. There are still some good people in some churches. You just have to ascertain who is who and what is what. And we know that God will protect all of us. This is an emergency broadcast. We have brought you the very important news from naturalnews.com, Mike Adams' delineation of this special thing that is recruiting these Marines, to be on the alert. And we pray that the worst scenario will not happen. And that could be eventually the impeachment of President Trump, or taking him out, and then Nancy Pelosi becoming president, and she resigns, and then Hillary would be installed. But that's a banana republic. That's not America. We still have our guns. We still have God, don't we, Lou?
That's exactly right.
And I guess, did you have one more article about Syrian things or not?
I believe that was all on that topic.
Yeah, so now we see we have to move quickly to America. And see, this is sort of the equivalent. We might think things are pretty good, but here's the headline. And I believe this was from HeraldMailMedia.com. There are so many homeless camps. L.A. area leaders want Newsom to issue a state of emergency. And this originally came from Gail Holland from the Los Angeles Times. Did you hear that? There are so many homeless camps. L.A. area leaders want Newsom, that's Governor Newsom, to issue a state of emergency. We'll just give you a little bit of this. We'll have to get into more of it next week. Please, again, tell others about going to our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com. And give that listening number again quickly, Lou, if you have it, at kstartalkradio.com, where you can hear us at 5 p.m. Saturday evenings and 10 a.m. Sunday mornings. Do you have that number?
Yes, I do. That number is 1-605-562-5330.
Again,
1-605-562-5330.
And just the opening headline here is, facing a deepening quagmire over homeless encampments, Los Angeles elected officials are increasingly looking to sweeping statewide initiatives to shake loose solutions. The latest proposal from Los Angeles County Supervisor Mark Ridley Thomas and County Councilman Joe Buscano would have the governor declare a state of emergency on homelessness in California. So we'll be watching to see what happens with that. But we really want to thank Global Star Communications, too, for the excellent production of our programs since July of 2011. So you see, we've been with them now 8 years, and we really do ask the Lord to bless their lives. Thank you for listening to The Divided Kingdom. God bless all of you listeners, and do keep our country and President Trump and his family and the administration in your deepest prayers. Plus, Tucker Carlson, who's telling the truth on Fox. Plus, Alex Jones and InfoWars. We really, really need these voices to keep our liberty. We need our First Amendment, don't we, Lou?
That's exactly right. Everything we talk about hinges upon that. If that ever is allowed to be overruled,
we won't
be
here.
Be left.
No, you won't hear us. So take care and pray hard. Good night.
Good night.